Time for us to find out what's going on outside our little confines here as we reach out to our friend Chad Finn of the Boston Globe, who knows, well, he knows things. Hello there, Chad.
Well, we'll find out about that, won't we, Rick?
I'm pretty sure you know more. You know a lot of things.
I may know nothing.
Well, even if you don't, you'll be entertaining, so we're happy to have you with us. How's your Monday going so far?
Other than the blown tire on 295, it's gone crazy.
Yikes.
I spent my whole day at the car dealership getting my tire fixed. But fortunately, I had my laptop with me, so I could do my work.
Man, that's kind of scary. You weren't driving too fast or anything, were you?
No, I go grandma speeds these days, but at least when I'm in Maine, Boston's an entirely different story.
Well, yes, you have to keep up down there.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. We're much more reasonable here.
Well, that's what you want to do on your day off is deal with a tire issue.
It is, yeah. It's just wonderful. but we needed new tires in the spring, so there you go. We got new tires in the winter now.
All right, well, I hope there's some money left to try and get a shortstop to Boston.
Well, we're not spending Trey Turner money, I can tell you that, or at least 11 years and $300 million. It's pretty steep, but, you know, I think most people all along thought that the shortstops are kind of the three to four great shortstops available, depending on if you put Swanson in that category. We're kind of playing a little game of chicken to see who would sign first, and shockingly, it's Dave Dombrowski who broke the ice by signing Turner away from the Dodgers. A terrific player, but questions about whether his greatest skills will age well. His speed tends not to, and that's probably his greatest attribute. So we'll see if the other pieces fall into place here with Correa and Bogarts and Swanson now that one of the guys is off the market.
Well, on the one hand, I think it's a good sign because Dombrowski certainly liked Xander Bogarts, and that was a possible landing place. But what does that do to his potential price tag?
Yeah, Turner's within a year of Bogarts' age.
It right.
Seems like he's a younger player because Bogarts made the majors so young. But I think there's a nine-month gap there. It's really frustrating because the Red Sox has said, you know, we'd like to keep him. He's our number one priority and all that. What's the single thing that they've done as an action to match those words? It's nothing. They offered him 1 year and $30 million extension on the 360 he was due. He still had that he opted out of here at the end of the season. Other than that, nothing. He talked all season about how he wanted to stay. They let it get to this point, and now if they lose him and starting to look like they're going to, it's going to be entirely on them and their decision. And it I'm sure a lot of Red Sox fans feel this way already, but it really just does not seem like they had any intention of keeping him.
No, it feels like John Lester all over again.
It really does. It's kind of even worse because with Lester, they traded him at the deadline in 14, which the trade was weird. They got, Yoenis Cespedes back, who really didn't escalate any rebuilding thing. But they turned him into Rick Porcello, who helped him win a championship, won a Cy Young here. So that was okay. But Lester said after that, when he went to free agency and the Red Sox and Cubs were both trying to sign him, and he chose the Cubs, he said, "You think Boston is the only place to play until you get out there and see that other places are pretty good, too." And Bogarts hasn't gone through that. He just knows Boston. He loves it here. He doesn't really even have a window to what it's like to play elsewhere, other than maybe talking to friends like Beth about what it's like. And they had a great player. I hate talking in past tense. They had a great player who wanted to be here, did everything right as a Red Sox player. Still very good. Wrong side of 30 now, but still a very good player. And just really have shown no interest other than empty words in regard to keeping him.
Well, they did get an arm. They signed veteran reliever Chris Martin, which, am I right? This means Coldplay will play the anthem on opening day?
He's got to be so sick of those questions, right? Yeah, he's been fantastic. He was great for the Dodgers last year, but he's 36. I mean, this isn't a rebuild kind of guy. He bolsters the bullpen, and, you know, Cora really wants Whitlock in the rotation. They'll probably give Tanner Houck a shot at the rotation. So this Martin's going to be a really good high leverage type of fit in the bullpen if he's anything close to what he was last year. And it gives them a little bit more freedom of flexibility to move around a couple of their young pitchers if they decide that they want to try to make them into starters before committing to them as long-term relievers.
Chad Finn with us here on Downtown. Well, let's move to something much more uplifting than the Red Sox. Boy, how about Matt Patricia and Joe Judge and that play-calling tandem?
Jeez, I thought you were going Celtics or Bruins there. You really got me on that one. I wrote a column today for tomorrow. Just so they got to get rid of Patricia. I tried to think through why Belichick did this, and I can understand it to a degree. He's had a lot of success with Patricia. He's been here for a long time before he took the Lions job. Belichick's not a fool. He recognized something really, really reliable in Patricia as a coach, and probably believed in his ability to be flexible, and that the guy was a rocket scientist literally before he got into football coaching. He probably figured he would learn this fast, and the offense would make great progress. And it hasn't made progress. It was a mess in camp. They abandoned the outside runs and all those things they were trying to implement. They've caused a great regression in a rookie quarterback who was good enough to be an alternate for the Pro Bowl last year and get picked when Lamar Jackson bowed out. One of the better rookie seasons in NFL history, even though we know what his flaws are. He doesn't have a great arm. And now you're not even sure he's your quarterback of the future because of this decision you made with the offensive coordinator. And he's minimized the talent on their offense. They have good players. They just, every one of them's regressed this year. And that points back to the coordinator. And Belichick has to make a change after this season. This just can't go on for another year.
Is that Bill Belichick having too much faith in Matt Patricia or too much faith in himself?
Patricia, I think. He has reason to believe in him as a coach. You know, he's the one who sent Malcolm Butler out. Brian Flores actually did it. Patricia's the one who sent Malcolm Butler back out on the field for the pick, you know, against the Seahawks. And he's a brilliant guy. His social skills aren't great. He's a pain in the neck to deal with. I don't think a lot of the media likes him, but he's a very smart guy. And I just think Bill thought he would pick this up faster than he has and figured he would. The offense would grow along with Patricia's knowledge, and Mac Jones would be right there elevating his game as Patricia added more and more to his knowledge base, and it just hasn't happened. It's too complicated. It's complicated to implement an offense. That comment from Mike Lombardi yesterday saying the Patriots don't have a scheme, they run plays. I mean, that's damning. That's high school stuff, and this is supposed to be the New England Patriots. So I think Bill knows he's going to have to make a change, but it won't come till after this season.
All right, now let's talk about something fun. Man, the Celtics not just playing great basketball at 18-5, but absolutely incredibly entertaining to watch.
Yeah, and you know what's great, too? I mean, they're really fun when they blow teams off the court, as they've done a bunch this year, and share the ball. But they've been able to win those games that are muddied up, too. I mean, I know they lost the second of two in a row to the Heat, and the Heat are a nuisance and all that, but you watch that Brooklyn game last night, a lot wasn't going right. You know, Jaylen Brown was fantastic in the first quarter, but he got blinders on as the game went on, and it just kind of looked for his own offense. It looked like last year's offense a little bit. It took Tatum a long time to kind of wake up, and yet you look up at the end, and he's got 29 points, and their defense picked it up, and really didn't seem like there was a lot of suspense about what the outcome was going to be. And that's something that good teams do on nights when their best players, or at least one of their best players, doesn't have his best game and the shots aren't all falling. They can still go out there and beat a good team without a lot of concern.
And a lot of good role players, a deep bench, and everybody seems to know what to do. You know, Blake Griffin came in and got an opportunity last week and looked like the Blake Griffin of 15 years ago for 5 minutes or so.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I mentioned the Malcolm Butler thing before. I don't think I've jumped out of a chair like that until I did then, until Griffin stunk the other night, because I didn't think he could do that anymore. He just kind of downplays it to the point where he'll take a layup on the break and that sort of thing. And he seems to like messing with people with that skepticism about what he's so capable of. But I've talked to people at Celtics about him and in the front office and management, and they're just blown away by what a great guy he is. The young players look up to him. He's completely aware of what he is as a player at this point in time, and he's content with being a role player and being the guy who doesn't come in at garbage time, has nights where he doesn't play, but you can lean on him for 15, 20 minutes a night if you have to. And he's really happy to be here, and he's been a great fit in terms of the team culture.
And Robert Williams coming back soon just makes him even stronger.
Am I the only one nervous about this?
No, you're not.
I saw him out there playing 5-on-5 with the coaches and stuff, and I was like, thinking, you know, let's just wait a little while longer. Let's make sure everything's okay. But it is really enticing to think about Rob coming back with what they've done already and how his skills really fit what they've been able to do offensively this year. I mean, you think of him as a dunker and shot blocker, and he's great at those things. But he's also a terrific passer. And when they got stagnant last year, a lot of times it was Rob running the offense through him at the top of the key or the elbow, where they would kind of get things going again. And he's gonna be a really good fit with what they're trying to do on offense. I just hope he looks like his old self, because that guy was a joy to watch.
Boston Bruins putting up historic numbers, 20-3, 14-0 at home, taking on the Golden Knights tonight. So what will we see and hear at the Garden? Will it be fans cheering Bruce Cassidy and the Bruins players booing him?
Crazy may go back to Czechoslovakia, wherever he's from, for the night. But, I think he's going to get a great ovation. People didn't want him fired.
No.
He did a good job here. He was great with the media. I know a lot of the reporters missed him, even though Jimmy's pretty good at it, too, in the day-to-day dealings. But, I think he gets a great ovation, and some of the Bruins players are probably not clapping for him inside. They're thinking something else.
Well, it's always good to catch up with you. Now, I posted this last week, Chad. I'm pretty sure that, and I did it tongue-in-cheek, but I'm pretty sure the only reason that both Javier Garrido and myself are finalists for Sportscaster of the Year is because of your time with us on Mondays.
I think so. Yeah, that probably does it, although It seems like I don't get any connections down here in Massachusetts with it, other than my own colleagues. So if you know me down in Boston, you're probably doomed. But in Maine, it seems to be working out pretty well.
You're still the hometown favorite and always will be.
That's what I like to hear, Ray. I don't know if I believe it.
Hey, Chad, we appreciate it. Have a good night, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
All right, take care.
Chad Finn, Boston Globe.